Amen. Well, grab your Bible. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, I want you to tell the truth this morning. All right? How many of you guys find it hard to keep a secret? Come on. Yeah. I'm going to put up both hands. Man, it's hard to keep a secret. I mean, and people, you just get on the internet, man, they are sharing a lot of secrets. Just do a quick search. Just do a quick search of books. And you're going to find author after author who are willing to spill the beans on secrets to everything. So you get on there and you might find the secret to getting a job after college. There are many people who would love to know. Those of you who are in college right now, right? You want to know that secret because you're investing a lot of money into this future and you need a job. You'll also find the secret to lying, okay? I don't know if those are sold as companion books sometimes, right? The secret to getting your first job after college and the secret to lying. I don't know if those are sold as companion copies, but very well might go hand in hand from time to time for some people. You'll also find the secret to better painting, if you need to know that. The secret to true happiness. The secret to permanent prosperity, the secret to success, the secret to letting go, the secret to marital compatibility. And then there's even the book that's simply called The Secret. And so apparently the secret to selling books is to put the word secret into your title. There are tons and tons of books and articles and all sorts of things that you can find that talk about the secret to something. Well, this morning I want to share with you a secret. I want to share with you something as we prepare our hearts for the Thanksgiving season. Now, to be honest, it's not a secret at all. It's not, all right? It's right there, open in the revealed Word of God. It's there for anybody to see if they'll only look and read. You don't even have to dig deep for it. All right? I mean, there are some truths in the Bible that you have to mine the depths of the Bible to pull out. But this truth is right on the surface, right there, in plain English for you to read. It's right there for easy pickings. Yet few know this truth. And so it remains a secret. I'm talking about the secret to giving thanks. That's the title of today's message, The Secret to Giving Thanks. And we find the secret in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. I'm going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God this morning. God's Word, every bit of it is true. It's inerrant, it's infallible, it's sufficient, and it's good. And so the scripture says this, Philippians 10, chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Would you pray? Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, there's a secret here, Father, that we need to learn. And I ask God that you would speak to us. If there's anyone here under the sound of my voice this morning, Lord, that does not know the secret that we're about to talk about, I pray that you would bring it to light in their mind. They would see it and grasp it. If there's anybody who's not a follower of Jesus Christ today, we pray through the preaching of the word that they would see their need for Jesus and turn to him in faith and love. Thank you for Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So as you look at the text this morning, do you see the secret there in the text? Do you see it? It's right there. The secret of giving thanks is this, being content. Everybody say content. All right. Feeling that you need nothing more. Believing that you have enough. Being content is being satisfied. It's being pleased. Now, let's be honest. Contentment has been very hard since the fall of Adam in the garden. Amen. Right? I mean, every human generation struggles with being content. There's something in our fallenness that just screams, I want more! I deserve better! That's what our hearts, our flesh cry out. But contentment is especially hard in this capitalistic, in this materialistic society that we live in. I mean, this, again, just you look around here at Christmas, particularly as we head through Thanksgiving to Christmas, we live in an economy that is fueled by discontent. Have you ever thought about it that way? Right? We live in an economy that is fueled by discontent. Every ad you see on TV is perfectly designed, scientifically designed, to convince you that you need something, mainly their product. Every ad is designed to attack your contentment. And so as we're coming into this season, there's going to be a massive all-out war on your contentment. Yet we're supposed to pause this Thursday, aren't we? And give thanks. Beloved, that's why the Thanksgiving holiday, culturally speaking, has become nothing more than a speed bump on the way to the shopping season around Christmas. We don't even pause anymore on Thanksgiving. We just roll right over. It's not a stop sign where we stop and give thanks. We just roll right over it. Yet I'm thankful that our nation has set aside a day in the calendar devoted to giving thanks. It is a very Christian thing to do. It's not just an American thing. These were Christians that began this tradition, and it's Christians who have enshrined it into the national culture here. We as Christians, we should do this every day. It's not a one time of year thing, but especially at this time of year. You see, Thanksgiving is an aspect of worship, and I want to be a great worshiper. Do you want to be a great worshiper? I hope so. Right? I mean, and so if I want to be a great worshiper, then I've got to be a great thanksgiver. And if I'm going to be a great thanksgiver, then I must be content. I must be content. You see, there is a direct correlation between contentment and giving thanks. Where contentment is high, thanksgiving will be high. And where contentment is low, thanksgiving will be low. It's when we get mad and frustrated and discontent in life that we have nothing we can say thank you, God, for. So giving thanks is connected to contentment. So here's today's takeaway. It's this. Strive for contentment to maximize your thanksgiving. Our text teaches us three things, three truths about contentment that I want to share with you this morning to help you to do that. So first, if we're going to strive for contentment to maximize our thanksgiving, first we have to understand that contentment rises through learning to be like Christ. Contentment rises through learning to be like Christ. Look at what Paul says, Philippians 4, 10 and 11. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. You see, Paul begins here by giving thanks. He's glad, he's excited that his circumstances have kind of changed a bit. Now the Philippian people are once again caring for him. They're showing him concern. But he wants to make it clear that he didn't just begin giving thanks. He had already been giving thanks long before, regardless of their concern for him. He was already giving thanks. Why? Look at verse 11. He says that he had learned to be content. I hate to break it to you this morning, but human beings are not born content. You were not born content. I was not born content. We come into this world and the first thing we do is what? I mean, I had the privilege of being there at the birth in the delivery room with all five of my babies, and none of them came out smiling. None of them. Especially my Elijah. Boy, I wish y'all could have been there for that. The little dude came out. I mean, now he's the happiest boy you'll ever meet. But man, that day he was born, man, that dude was upset. He had a rough delivery. And when he came out glaring. He looked, cheeks, you know, mad. I mean, he was too mad to cry. It was so bad. But you know, I've never seen a happy baby. I've never seen a happy baby when he first comes into this world. We are born discontent, and that continues unless something changes inside of us, right? Contentment doesn't come from the outside. It's something that must happen inside of us. You see, God wants you and me to be content, but our naturally fallen flesh wars against that contentment. For instance, Galatians 5:17 says this, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." The spirit says, be content, and the flesh says, give me more. How about Romans 8:7-8? Romans 8:7-8, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And so naturally, you and I will not be content. We must learn to be content. And it's a process, isn't it? Right? I mean, some of us are further along in that process than others. Some days we take a step forward. Some days we take a step back, okay, in the process of contentment. But I believe this process is basically the process of sanctification, right? Where we are becoming like Jesus Christ. Contentment rises through learning to be like Christ. I have to ask you, who was the most content man to ever live? I have to believe it was Jesus, don't you? And as we learn to be like Jesus, as we renounce the world and embrace the things of God, and we conform to Jesus, then we will learn to be content. And it begins right here. Right here. Right here in your head. Right here in your mind. We have to learn to be like Jesus, all right? We've got to change our thinking. We have to think like Jesus and not like the world. Romans 12:2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The more you become like Jesus, the more content you will be. And the more content you become, the greater your thanksgiving. I'm not talking about the holiday. I'm talking about that which comes out of you. The greater your thanksgiving will be. Second, this morning, if we're going to strive for contentment to maximize our thanksgiving, we need to understand that contentment regards not the circumstances. That's the second thing this morning. Contentment regards not the circumstances. Now, many people, naturally so, we tie our contentment to the things of this world, the circumstances that we're in. When it's going good, we're content, we're happy. And when it goes bad, we hate it. We're discontent. Guys, your circumstances, that is a very shaky ground to tie your contentment to. It's a very volatile market to trade in when it comes to your contentment, right? It's a flimsy foundation to build your house upon, and it's a stable, unstable post to tie yourself to, your commitment to. So we've got to find something better. You and I have to find something better to anchor our contentment to. And I believe the Apostle Paul understood that. Look what he says here, verse 11 and 12. Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12. He says, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I'm in," whatever the situation, "to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." Paul is saying right here, it doesn't matter what's going on around me, I can be content. I'm content when I'm low, I'm content when I'm high, I'm content when I abound, and I have plenty. I'm content when I'm hungry and needy. How in the world could he do this? How in the world could he say this? Well, his contentment was not fixed on his circumstances. I believe it doesn't necessarily right here in Philippians 4 in this passage here, but elsewhere throughout Philippians 4, it's clear where his contentment is fixed. But if you go with me to Colossians 3, 1, 2, and 3, here is where we get a fully orbed, explicit explanation of where Paul's contentment was fixed on, what it was fixed on. Colossians 3, 1, 2, and 3. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You see, his contentment was tied to Christ and everything that Christ had won for him. That's why he could say, 2 Corinthians 12:10, for the sake of Christ, I'm content with weakness. Insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. The circumstances, good or bad, was not his prize. Jesus was his prize. Listen, you come in this morning, you may have troubles, you may have trials, you may lack by the world's standards, but if you have Jesus, praise God, you have more than enough. Amen. You do, and I do. In fact, you're rich. You're rich. If you have Jesus, you are rich. The circumstances of this life are so transient. Man, they're here today, and they're gone tomorrow. But in Christ, you have God, and God has promised, hasn't he, to never leave you nor forsake you. When you tether your contentment to God in Jesus Christ, it cannot be touched, and it will never fade. Guys, God has blessed you in big, amazing ways. But you know what? Maybe you've come in today, and life is not going the way you would like it to go, and life is hard right now. Can I just point you for just a few moments to how he's blessed you? Maybe not in the big ways, but in the small ways. I believe, without a doubt, that God has blessed you in a million small ways. But you know what? We often discount those. Maybe we weren't looking for those things, or they don't excite us, but God has blessed you in amazingly small things. And they matter. They add up. Let me give you an example here. Mr. Otha Anders of Ruston, Louisiana. This dude spent 45 years bending down and collecting something that most of us ignore, pennies. And in 2015, October of 2015, at 73 years old, Mr. Anders, he was a supervisor for an in-school suspension program. He took all these pennies that he'd been collecting for 45 years to the bank. It took him 15 5-gallon jugs. And he deposited a total of $5,136.14. Now, for those of you who aren't math majors like me, okay, that's 513,614 pennies. The bank's machines, people didn't count them, they poured them into machines. It took the machines 5 hours to count it all. But guys, the story is not his thriftiness. The story is not his perseverance. The story is Mr. Anders' thankfulness. You see, each new penny on the ground, he believed, served as a prompt to give thanks to God. It was just a penny. I mean, just pass it by, most people would. But he would pick it up as a reminder of how God has blessed him. He said this, he said, I became convinced that spotting a lost or dropped penny was an additional God-given incentive reminding me to always be thankful. There have been many days where I failed to pray, and more often than not, a lost or dropped penny would show up and remind me. And so, beloved, in the midst of your circumstances today, it may not be going exactly the way you want it to go, but I believe that there are pennies lying all around you. You're not looking for them. You're overlooking them. You're passing them up. You may be even snarling your nose at them like it's not even worth your time and that it doesn't even count. but blessings from God are waiting to be recognized by you. And little blessings add up to be big blessings. I don't care what you're going through. I know this. God has been good to you. Amen? He's been good to you. Way better than you and I deserve. And so regardless of your circumstances, we should be content in the goodness of God, the goodness that God has shown us. And so contentment regards not the circumstances. Finally, this morning, if we're going to strive for contentment to maximize our thanksgiving, we have to understand that contentment relies on God's power. Just like this body, all 200 and pounds of it, okay, would rely on a rocket booster to reach this ceiling, your spirit and my spirit relies upon the power of God to be content. It is not within your natural power. Now, you could be it for a moment. You could be content for a moment, but it wouldn't be lasting, and it wouldn't be in the things in which it should be. It wouldn't be attached to Jesus Christ. It relies on God's power. Even the most optimistic person in the room needs God's power to be content. That's why Paul said, Philippians 4:13, most of us all know this passage by heart. We know it by heart, but we often don't understand that it's connected to contentment, regardless of the circumstances. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about it in those regards? I can do all things, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. I can be content no matter the circumstances through him who strengthens me. Now, the King James says, through Christ who strengthens me. Whether it's Christ or whether it's the Holy Spirit or just the triune God in all of those phases, whoever it is here, it is the power of God that can cause you to be content. And so if you're here today and you are struggling with contentment, I'm not talking about complacency. My wife and I, we have this conversation. We want to be content, but we don't want to be complacent. Complacent means I just don't care. Just whatever happens, happens. Contentment is a choice to be glad with what you've been given. That's what contentment is. And it touches on every phase of this life. It's a work of God. It says it over here in Ephesians chapter 3 as well. This is a passage, it's a lengthy passage, but I want you to hear it today. And I want you to think as I read this passage, I want you to hear contentment in this, okay? I want you to hear contentment. Paul said, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being. The Spirit of God, you hear that? Working inside you. Remember, not outside. Something has to change in you. Working with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Notice this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you're not content, then pray to the Almighty God of the universe to work within you contentment. And when contentment comes, thanksgiving will rise. It will maximize. And it'll be awesome. This morning, maybe you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I've talked about being content. Can I say to you this morning, you will never be content You'll never even have the opportunity to be content until you repent and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're 7 or 70, okay? Contentment begins by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ in faith and love. And so I invite everyone under the sound of my voice, if Christ is not your king, if Christ is not your comfort, if he's not your consolation, if he's not your contentment, then I pray today would be the day you would repent and make him so. And for the rest of us who are already in Jesus, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He's given you Christ. If he's given you Christ, he'll give you all things. I pray this Thanksgiving that you will be maximized in your Thanksgiving. And that'll happen as you maximize your contentment. Here's my final prayer. May you give maximal thanks to God this holiday season.